you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Udo Dirkschneider.
And Fiete Wienold.
And we are from UDO.
And you are listening to Talking Metal.
You are listening to episode 409 of Talking Metal with very special guests, Udo and Fiddy from the band UDO. Right now, coming off of the recently reissued UDO CD, Holy, this is Raiders of Beyond, originally released in 1999.
And now, broadcasting live from Dave's Tavern in New York City, this is Talking Metal. Tonight's special guests, Udo Dirkschneider and Fiddy Weinhold. And now, your hosts, Mark and Jan.
Thank you, Bud Friendly. Talking Metal Toast. We're here at Dave's Tavern, one of my favorite bars in Hell's Kitchen, New York City. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Great to be back here at Dave's Tavern with the gang, Bud Friendly, John Astronomy. And we have a big interview coming up in today's show. I hooked up with Udo and Fitty at the Gibson Guitar Showroom on 54th Street. And we talked some metal. So first-time guest, Udo Dirkschneider, to the podcast. So we're excited about that. We're going to get into that in a minute. But let's get into some classics right now. A classic. How about that? This is a little Accept. John, randomly picking an Accept song for us to play here.
I got to go with the obvious, Balls to the Wall, because it's a classic tune.
Bodies of the dead, and you say
What you just heard was Balls to the Wall. I wanted to make an announcement that we are going back to the iTunes links. We haven't been doing that for a while, but you can now purchase music that you hear on the podcast by going to talkingmetal.com and using those links to open your iTunes. It'll take you right to the song that you heard on the podcast. You can buy the song, and we end up getting a little cut back on that. Not much, but on your 99 cents, we get 4 or 5 cents. The thought is, over time, it adds up, and if we can get a check for $5-6 a month, that is awesome. And, you know, we stopped doing the links because I thought everybody was going to start using Spotify and iTunes was going to die, but iTunes has not died, and it's stronger than ever. I'm drinking a Bud Light here right now, and Bud Friendly, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking beer.
Very nice. And how about you?
It's strange. It's Coke and Kahlua. I know that sounds kind of girly, but it's really good.
Very good. How about we listen to one of the bonus tracks that is on the recently re-released Mean Machine record, which originally came out back in 1989. And this is a live version, a bonus track off the, again, reissued Mean Machine album. It is Break the Rules Live. And then we'll get right into my interview. I'm here with Vidi and Udo, and they've just arrived here in the States. Welcome back to America, guys.
Hi. Thank you very much. It's good to be back in America after a long time, and we're looking forward.
When was the last time you were here?
12 years ago.
12 years ago. Yes. Wow. So it's been some time.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. But there was no reason for come over. I mean, we didn't have a, let's say, record company, and the album was not out here. All the albums, no really good offers, so there was no sense to come over.
Right. Right. Well, we're glad to have you here. We can't wait for the show on Wednesday here in New York City. I guess you're playing Long Island before that.
Yes.
And some other U.S. shows, too. So we're very excited about that. We're very excited about the new record. But let's talk about the band itself. You have two new members over the past year or so.
Yes.
You've added two new guitar players.
Yes.
So can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, that was, in a way, not planned to have two new guitar players. So normally it was just planned to have a new guitar player for Stefan Kaufmann. So, but he couldn't do it anymore about his health problem. And then in the end, Igor quit after 15 years for time reason. So we were a little bit, what can you say? A little bit
surprised,
yeah. So, and then we had to look also for a second guitar player. So, but both of them, I think Andre did all the guitar work on the Steelhammer album, on the new album. And Kasper came end of January before we get
before we went to Ecuador.
Yeah. So and yeah. So what can I say? I mean, we are very happy with the new guys.
Excellent.
And I mean, it was like when we did the first show in Ecuador. Maybe you can say something about this.
Yeah, I mean, we were really lucky to find two guys like that. They're young. They bring fresh blood in the band. And Kasperi had to jump in cold water, you know, because we got an offer in Ecuador to play. We said, of course, we take it. And so we went there with a completely new lineup, headlining a big festival, and it went really cool. I mean, we were really happy, and it seemed like we were playing a long time together.
Right.
So we continue it now in the States like that.
Great. And, I mean, Stefan has been such a part of what you've done with, I mean, this band and your band before that for so many years. Is he still kind of an extended member of the family? Will he be involved with the new record at all?
No. Stefan, well, Stefan, yeah, it's a long story about Stefan, you know.
Okay.
He's more than a member. He's more than, because Udo and Stefan, they know each other for 40 years.
Wow.
And on one side also, he created together with Udo, the UDO, all the albums. There's a little bit more behind. Let's call it like it's like a burnout syndrome. You know, he needs to have his time out, and we accepted that. Apart from his health problem, yet, and but in a new album, he is not involved, not as a songwriter, and neither as a producer.
Okay.
So, and I don't know. You have something to say to more than that? You know much more than me.
Yeah, I mean, and then I had the situation. I mean, so. I started songwriting, did all the songwriting together with Fiti, the whole album. So I knew that Fiti had very good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out very well. I'm very pleased with that. And then we had another situation, who will be the producer of the new album?
Right.
So, and then I said, okay, I did this already a long time ago with together with Michael Wagner, a very old friend of mine. And and then I said, okay, I will produce the album together then with Fiti. I don't want to do it alone. And here we go. I think the result of the new album is very good.
Cool. Okay, great. So right now we're going to hear the new single off the Steelhammer record. It is called Metal Machine.
It generates
What you just heard was Metal Machine off the new Steel Hammer record. Let's talk about this. It's coming out a little over a month here in the States. You are touring now for it. Will you come back after the record comes out, or maybe, maybe not?
Let's say it this way. I mean, now this tour, what we are doing now in America and Canada is like, to see what's going on for UDO. So it's more a promotion thing what we are doing now. A lot of interviews, so we will see how the shows are going and how the reaction will be. But I heard so far that already some people talking about that we are coming back next year. But so the whole year is already completely booked out. Festivals and a European tour and South America. And then I think it looks like that we are coming back next year, then doing some more shows in America and Canada.
Excellent, excellent. Cool. And the set list. I'm very excited to see UDO in New York City, and always curious about the set list.
Oh,
you guys still working on that? Huh? Any surprises from the past that you might be pulling out?
Let's say some surprises. I mean, in the set list now, we tried now the whole. Let's say it this way: the whole back catalog is now released in America. And so what we do is we make a mix up of all the UDO albums, And definitely we play some songs we couldn't play before with Stefan and Igor. So, but now with the two new guitar players, we can play also some songs of the Time Bomb album.
Right.
So they both are very good solo guitar players. And as surprises, yeah, I mean, maybe songs we never played with UDO live. There will be some songs and, of course, still some accept songs.
Right.
Of course, the people want to hear some of them. And, there will be a good mix-up and... what can I say? Watch out for the show.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you mentioned all the albums, UDO records, are being re-released now in the States, or they have been, I guess, a bunch of them have been already, right?
Yeah.
And they include a lot of cool things. So let's talk about the bonus tracks. There's a lot of stuff like live tracks and different, is there different mixes of some of the songs? Like what kind of... where are these live tracks from? Are they from back in the day when you were touring for that particular record, or were they recorded later in history?
Yeah, it was recorded the most of them on tour, right?
Yeah, most of them on tour. There were also some leftovers we had, and but there's nothing actually specially new made. So all those songs we had anywhere, and sometimes when we talk about bonus tracks, it's always a thing. Oh, they're good songs. What you gonna do with this? You know, then obviously you need special bonus tracks for Japan. You need special bonus track for I don't know what, for Timbuktu and things like that. So and all those tracks, they are it's sometimes useless to put them anywhere out. And so we said, we're going to do it now like that.
Right. Cool. Well, it's very exciting. And they actually sent me a bunch of them, and the packaging looks great. And it's still so much fun for me to put a CD in a CD player and listen to it. It's a different experience than listening on your iPhone or your your computer. So definitely, guys, pick those up. They're on AFM Records, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Wanted to go back, Udo, and talk to you about some of your past tours from the 80s, the heyday of heavy metal, if you will. So many great bands you toured with. The first time I saw you guys was on the World Slavery Tour back in 1985 with Iron Maiden. You were touring for Metal Heart.
Yeah.
Any memories, any little tidbits you could share from that tour, touring with the Iron Maiden guys?
Yeah, touring with Iron Maiden was great at this time. I mean... they're really nice guys, and they was really helpful also for us. But I mean, I think in 85 already, after the 84, the Board to the Wall tour, I mean, Accept was, let's say, well-known in America.
Yes.
So that was, already not a real support band tour anymore, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it works out very well. I have very good rememberings of the tour. And sometimes when we meet each other on festivals in Europe, we're still talking about the old days.
Right.
That's normal.
How about Ozzy? You toured with Ozzy back in the heyday. That was probably like 84, was it?
84, I think that was the Bugger to Moon tour, I think. Oh, yeah, I think that was the tour.
And how was Ozzy? Crazy?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, Ozzy is always crazy. but it was also a lot of fun. I mean, it was the whole tour. I mean, we started in 84, we started with Kiss. The touring here, then we did with Ozzy, and we did some shows with Motley Crue. I mean, we toured with everybody. But in 84, that was like, you know, we did always, when we had days off, we always did club shows. So, except Kiss was going bigger and bigger and bigger in America. And in the end, we did a headline tour after 13 months or something like that thing in the States.
How was the Kiss tour? That was...
They showed us all the entertainment in America. Yeah, that was there. I mean, for a small band coming from Europe, I mean, Accept was okay in Europe already, well known, but coming over to America and play big halls, there was something else, you know. I mean, then they was really helpful. I mean, they told us how you do it on stage and this and this. We learned a lot from Kiss.
Yeah, cool. Very good. So we are here at Gibson in New York City. Gibson makes, obviously, guitars, basses. I wanted to talk to you about your bass, Fitty. What type of gear do you play out of? Bass, amps?
Can I say that? Without you beating me up?
Yeah.
Well, I started playing actually Rickenbacker.
Ah, okay.
So let me convince me for that. And then I got a custom-made one by an Italian guy. It was a very good bass, so there's no name for it. And then Spectre showed up.
Ah, right.
And so I got an offer from Spectre, and I said, okay, let me try it out. And so at the moment, I'm very pleased with them. So, but I'm like a whore, you know. So if anybody offers me something better, yeah. At the moment, I'm very happy with that bass. And
how about amps?
I'm using Hartke.
Yeah.
So I switched also from typical heavy metal Ampeg.
Right.
What all the crew guys complained to carry around.
Yeah.
So I switched on to Hartke, and Hartke and Spectre together, this is actually the sound I like.
Great. Cool. And when you guys come over to the States, I know it's been a while, but what are some of your favorite cities to play here? To play and maybe vacation and hang out.
Definitely New York. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. If you come to the States, you have to stop in New York. And to have the pleasure to play here is also fantastic. Other cities, L.A. definitely.
L.A. is great, definitely. And also what we did on the last tour with Texan.
Yeah,
that was in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas.
Oh, yes. Ah, okay.
Yeah, a lot of good places. You cannot name only one.
Right.
When you go to the South of America, still this states are Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. They are still into this kind of music.
Yeah.
There will be very good, for example, Albuquerque and Phoenix are good places.
Excellent. Cool. And I know it's been a long time you two guys have been working together, but how did you first officially meet?
It was officially?
Yeah.
In the 80s. Oh, my God. This was in 80... Let me think. This was in 80-something. There was a festival... No, we met us already before those festivals in the studio, because I played in a band called Bullet.
Okay.
And he was playing in a band everybody knows. And so, and we were by the same producer, which was Dieter Dirks, who also produced Scorpions. And so there we met the first time and started talking and I don't know, all those usual things. And actually the first time where Udo and me really talked long and there was something and I don't know what, was there was a festival in France. And in the morning or at night, we met at the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we started talking until we had to leave in the morning, I remember.
Yeah.
So it's really long ago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Excellent. Now, I wanted to ask you, Udo, about your old band. They've went on and put out 2 albums in recent years without you. Do you pay attention to what they do? Have you heard those records? Do you care?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to The Blood of a Nation, of course. I mean, good album. I mean, a good singer. And but the second album, I only hear one song, Stalingrad.
Right.
And I think the second album, for me, is not so good as the first one. I don't know, there's a little... also, the song, Stalingrad, I have the feeling they was recording already the second album together with the first one.
That sounds like to me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So, what can I say? I mean, Wolf said never always he was not in contact with me about a reunion, but then what can I say? This is not true.
Yeah.
He was asking me, but then we had a long talk, and then in the end I said, no, guys, I don't want to do it again. I'm really happy with UDO, and I wish you all the best, good luck, and for the future. That's it.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Now, another question. Going back to the 80s, all the bands that back in those days, they had the spandex, they had the big hair, the hairspray.
Not me.
Except you. And did you ever feel, I mean, you in a lot of ways, I look at a lot of these extreme metal bands today, they come on in the... You know, the fatigues and the camos, and I'm like, that's what this guy was wearing back, you know, in the day, you know, was there ever any pressure on you? Did you ever have record label guys say, listen, you need to change your image to fit in a little bit more? Because so many bands did it. Even you look at Maiden, you know, and they put on the spandex, and there was a time when Bruce Dickinson had highlights in his hair, you know, but you really never folded to any of that.
No, I mean, in the 80s, we have to look for something, you know, coming outstanding stage clothes, do something different. And then for some reason, but I don't think it was for one reason, I was planned, I think. We was looking for some stage clothes. And then we was going into NATO shop, army shop. And I put these things on and I came out and said, yeah, that's you now. I said, guys, come on. it looked really good, but I had also long hair.
Right.
So, and then the management came up, couple of weeks later, maybe your long hair doesn't fit together with a camouflage thing, a military thing, and it think you have to cut your hair. That was in 82, I think.
Yeah.
So, and here we go. The UDO style was born, but camouflage, all the camo stuff was not popular at the time.
Yeah, right.
And so now it's a fashion, you know, everybody wears it.
You started it.
Yeah, in a way. So, but then I tried. Let's say I tried a couple of times to get away with this image.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Right. Gotcha. Cool. What do you guys do when you're not making music? Just do you have hobbies? Do you do businesses on the side?
To be really honest, in the last year we were really busy. There was not a lot of time to have free time. So, but on the other hand, we have all our family.
Sure.
And so, we try to just relax, you know, to concentrate on the next work is coming because there's always something coming up. But it's also nice to have a couple of days or when it's happened, a couple of weeks, really to cut completely off with music and just think about the sense of life.
Oh, yeah.
And before the stress starts again. What is not stress, what is positive meaning, you know?
Because right.
Let's say Udo and I think we're really workaholics on one side.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, so Fitti is now building up a professional studio at home.
Okay.
So, and we want to open up a production company later on and then slowly start working also, if you have time, with new bands, you know, become in a way a production team. And I think we are always into music. And I think if we can help young bands, you know, producing them and helping with songwriting, stuff like that. So I think it's a good thing.
Excellent.
Give something back.
Makes sense. Very good. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here at the Gibson Showroom on Talking Metal.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you taking the time to come to us here.
Thank you very much. Just right. Don't go to heaven and this fight.
And I know what's right.
I know what's right. We'll be right back.
good as I get.
That was I Give As Good As It Gets by Udo off of the Live in Sofia album. It's Bulgaria. It's a really cool city, apparently.
Yeah, it's a really cool concert. You get, I think, two audio CDs and one DVD of the band live, and it's great. I was sitting in my bed watching it, having drinks with Emily after my kids had went to sleep, and just... it was the best time of the month. You know, it was just... I had a blast watching him do all his great songs. He definitely sneaks in a couple Accept classics. Remember Screaming for a Love Bite?
What was that?
Do you remember the song Screaming for a Love Bite?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he does that one. A lot of great stuff. Anyways, so John, any Accept memories you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. On March 4th, 1984, at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I saw Accept open for Kiss. And I was sitting with all my friends in one row, and then two rows behind me, my parents were sitting. At that point, I didn't want them to, like, you know, be hanging with me at the shows. Now I like to go to the shows with them, but back then I was in, like, eighth or ninth grade, and I think it was in ninth grade. And so I thought, like, they needed to sit a little bit behind me, but they always referred to Udo as... Yeah, that guy in a camouflage outfit. Like, they really thought he was cool because they saw Accept open for Kiss on the Lick It Up tour. And that was very cool. And I've always been a fan of Accept and Udo from that. Actually, even before that, because I had heard Accept before I saw him live. But definitely after seeing him live, without a doubt.
And that was John Astronomy's Pittsburgh Story of the Night.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, back in those days, that was really a radical look for a heavy metal guy to have a buzz cut and wear camos when it was the long hair, on the heavy metal bands, just whether it was Metallica or Iron Maiden or Saxon. I mean, Iron Maiden and Saxon, you know, wore spandex on stage and had long hair. Bruce Dickinson on the Somewhere in Time tour even had highlights, you know. I recently was watching That Metal Show, and Jim Florentine made a comment that Iron Maiden never wore spandex. He must have not been a fan of Iron Maiden, to at least not in the 80s, because that's basically all they wore from, you know, at least Peace of Mind on, probably even a little before that, through, I would say, the end of the 80s, or at least, yeah, I would say through the end of the 80s. Maybe they changed to, like, jeans and stuff when they got to... Seventh Son, and I know on Killers they were definitely wearing jeans and leather pants, but I mean, Maiden wore freaking spandex for sure. But anyways, back to Udo, he had a real radical look for the 80s, and a very, in a lot of ways, unmetal look, you know, to wear camouflage and a buzz cut. And you see a lot of bands nowadays with that same exact look. I mean, even Arch Enemy, you see these guys, those guys and girl on stage with the camo. But, you know, back in those days, that was a radical look for heavy metal. And we're so thrilled that he joined us here on Talking Metal. And we're going to wrap it up, keep it at that. And, guys, please support Talking Metal. Use the Amazon links. Use the PayPal button to make a donation. Use those iTunes links. And buy a T-shirt in the store section on TalkingMetal.com. And that'll wrap it up for today's podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for all your support. We couldn't do it without you. And once again, go to TalkingMetal.com. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Check us out on YouTube.com/TalkingMetal.
Write a review on iTunes, too. All right, guys. Take care.